We're going to continue with our discussion on Christian characteristics. And tonight we are going to look at one of the virtues called gentleness. Next week, Faye and I will not be here. We'll be traveling back from up north. And Andrew will lead our class on patience. So I appreciate him filling in for me. We are going to visit my mom, who's turning 99, in Marysville, Washington. So we'll be up north. And my brother flew in from Ohio today, so I'll get an opportunity to visit with him. Okay, who can define what gentleness is? Di.
Kindness, consideration, a spirit of fairness and compassion.
Very good. Kindness. And who do we display that to?
Everyone.
Everyone, exactly. Who else would like to add to that? Eileen.
Gentleness is not weakness, but strength, under control, kindness, humility, and patience.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I just added to that.
Good. Anybody else, Bob?
I just put my own definition to it. Kindness is handling with softness, kindness, compassion, and concern.
Very good. Andrew?
Good. Showing care and respect for others in the way they act and speak, quality of being kind, tender, or mild, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And Carol?
I think of gently when you think of somebody breaking a horse as opposed to somebody who wants to break the horse. It's sort of the opposite of that, but the Bible definition was equitable, fair, moderate, looking humanely and reasonably at the facts.
Mm-hmm. And that takes into consideration of everything that's involved in this. Well, we see that it's a character that approaches others with care, thoughtfulness, particularly during challenging moments. It encompasses, as many had said, kindness, patience, compassion, even when encountering anger or disagreement. You have to be in control. We talked at one of the characteristics several weeks ago, our self-control. Now we're going to look at kindness and patience down the road. And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, they're all combined. They're all integrated into one. Reason why we split it up so we can get an idea of what these virtues or these characteristics mean to you and I. As the fruit of the Holy Spirit, gentleness is shown through acts such as responding calmly, teaching with empathy, and helping restore those who have stumbled with understanding. Faye.
That's interesting because the last paragraph that you just read, when I was looking up the meanings, like Carol said, it can mean soothing,
mm-hmm.
like a gentle breeze or a soothing. So that last paragraph kind of talks about the soothing effect of being gentle.
It involves a lot. Andrew.
Yeah, I just want to go on that. The soothing. When I was doing all my reading for this and everything, I have an NIV Bible and a New American Standard Bible, and then I looked at New King James too.
Uh-huh.
And NIV used the word soothing a lot instead of using the word gentle or kind. It replaced it with soothing. Well, when I was looking New American Standard for, it used the word gentle and kind more often, same with New King James. But.
And that's a pretty interesting thought to follow, soothing. And it's the way we approach someone with calmness, gentleness, a soothing type of approach. And that's something that we have to consider. When you are treating others with kindness and care, you're concerned about them, their feelings, and you want to make sure you don't hurt them. And when you're patient and understanding with someone, patience is a virtue that I have to work on a lot because I'm very impatient. But it allows for others to express themselves and understanding their perspectives, understanding where they're coming from. When we deal with people in the world, we don't want to beat them over with a noodle, wet noodle, to try to convince them that they have to obey the gospel. We have to let the Holy Spirit work through us in a way that we can present the gospel that will touch them and turn their hearts to God. Also, when we are gentle, we should be gentle with restoring our brothers and sisters who have fallen away. That's hard sometimes. It's difficult because they're in a sinful nature, and you have to approach them and try to convince them they're sinning. Sometimes you're going to lose that individual, but if that person has a heart that's seeking God, he'll realize, or she will realize, that you're there to help. Redonda.
So if you notice too, like I know when I was looking at passages, but also too, if you just look in general, when you're talking about the word of God and speaking to others about spreading that word, always that you're spreading the truth, but you're also using love in there. If you're tempering everything with love, your approach will be this gentle, kind, calming, soothing. Like you said, we're not beating them over the head, but we are presenting them the truth, and how we do it and our demeanor in that is all a part of this. And it, as long as it's tempered with love, you've got this part.
Very good. Left. That's exactly true. And when we shouldn't respond with anger, we shouldn't respond, well, look, here's the truth. Why don't you obey? I had discussions with individuals over the years, and they were set in their ways. And when I presented the gospel to them, they said, that's your opinion. And it's not, I said, it's not my opinion. It's written down here. However, you have to move on. You did your part. And maybe it's going to produce fruit later on. We don't know. How do we get this gentleness? What's one way we should?
James says to ask for it.
Ask for it. Right. We pray to God and ask for gentleness. Ask him to help us with this. Go ahead.
I said that backwards. He said to ask for wisdom.
Yeah.
And in the same part, in verse 2, he says that being gentle is part of wisdom. He describes wisdom in James 3:2.
What was that, James?
James 3:17.
Okay.
3:17.
And why don't you read that for us, please?
But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So you ask for wisdom, and part of that is gentleness.
So you're approaching our Heavenly Father through prayer, through Jesus, and asking for wisdom, but it also incorporates these characteristics of being gentle, peaceable, reasonable. So there's things we have to work on in our lives. I know I have to when I look at being gentle. We should also after seeking God's guidance in difficult situations, we go to pray to Him. We should recognize that God gives us such grace and mercy. We don't deserve anything He gives us, but He gives us grace and mercy, and He shows gentleness towards us. Just go back in the history of the children of Israel. They were on a right relationship with God, and then they sinned. They turned their backs on God. And this happened over and over again. And what did God do? He forgave them. Just like He does you and I, He forgives us. And that's something that we as Christians should always remember. God the Father is going to give His grace and mercy to you and I. We should recognize that in our lives. But when you think of some key aspects of gentleness that we observe in the Bible, we see that it's mildness and tenderness. It's the approach that He used when dealing with others. It's not a harsh approach, but it's an approach to express kindness and caring for that individual. We also see that one of the attributes of gentleness is humility and meekness. What does humility mean? Go ahead, Bill.
Let me read a scripture. Psalms 18:35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Now, the footnote, it replaces gentleness with condescension. And to me, I think that doesn't mean God's looking down on David. It means He's coming below His normal nature of authority to be kind to David and for us. Humility, I think, is coming below our normal nature, our boisterous selves or our strong selves, coming down to somebody else's level.
Good point. When I think about humility, I think of a dependence on God for everything. It makes me humble. I don't do this myself. It's because God allowed these things. Not us. Not me. It's God. Andrew.
Yeah, I was just going to say, humility is just having a... I had it, and it's... It left me. Sorry.
Okay. All right, so, Lee.
Well, you asked what humility was. I was going back was... some of the lessons that we have with you already, that freedom from pride, lowliness, meekness, mildness, and of course gentleness, which is what we're studying today.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Very good,
Lenny.
Go ahead, Ann.
I have a verse from 1 Peter 3:4. It says, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable qualities of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God.
Very good verse. And that's the way we should approach being gentle with people. Again, being patient and forbearance. Patience is a characteristic of a Christian who shows all these attributes in their life. Kindness and compassion for everyone. Self and self-control. Strength and self-control. And we studied some of these, and we're going to study some of the rest of them as we go through this study. And we're going to see that the fruit of the Spirit is only the final. And it should be within us. And we should be drawing from the Holy Spirit. And the best example we have is Jesus. Jesus himself is the ultimate example of gentleness. He had a gentle and humble heart. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. So those are the biblical aspects of what gentleness is. And we as Christians should integrate that in our lives so that we could grow. We could exhibit what gentleness is to not only our brothers and sisters, but also people in the world. So share two verses in the Bible concerning gentleness and explain the verses. Who would like to share a verse? Andrew, go ahead.
So I have Proverbs 15, verse 1 and verse 4. And like I said earlier, going through these, I found out that, you know, different translations use different words for gentleness. And I picked this translation because, well, it does use different words. So verse 1 there says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And then verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perseverance or perverseness, sorry, and it breaks the spirit. And even the second verse, you know, talks about the tongue of the wise, whose knowledge rightly in the mouth of the fools, pours forth foolishness. It just, you know, it talks about there our speech.
Yeah.
And how we speak to others.
And exactly.
We covered that in our definition that, you know, we need to show that care and respect in the way we speak. And especially when we're talking to somebody about this, we don't want to yell at them and try to shove it down their throat, you know, what all this is. We need to have a gentle approach. Or, as it says here, we need to be soft and we need to be wholesome in what we say to them.
Exactly. In fact, I'll share a story with you. When we were first married, I was very loud when I speak. And Faith thought I was not gentle. But when I got together with my family, we were all loud. That's the way Italians are. We like to speak over someone else. And I learned that growing up. But over the years, I tapered my speech so that I thought speech would you just say it and that's it. But it's the way you say it is effective. Anybody else have another verse? Die and then person and then Aaron.
Okay.
Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love.
Very good verse. And that's the way we as Christians should conduct ourselves at all times. Kirsten?
One's geared towards adults and one's, I thought, I found for kids, I thought was kind of cool. So the first one, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And so I just thought that, so when you're sharing your walk with God or with Christ, you do it gently as to build up others and not scare them away.
Mm-hmm.
You're sharing their hope, your hope. And then Isaiah 40:11, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock in his arms. He will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. I just thought that was kind of a good one. For kids, you know, if you're trying to talk to them about how to be gentle or empathetic,
sure,
towards one another, that might be a good one to share.
Isaiah paints a picture here of the shepherd who is caring for his sheep. He's being gentle. He takes and carries them off in his bosom. And he gently leaves the nurse mute. So he's considerate. He's kind. He's compassionate. And this is the way we as Christians should emulate in our lives. Go ahead, Ann. You had a verse?
2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. Paul taught in a gentle way.
Exactly. And however, he was bold when it came to the gospel.
But you can be bold and gentle at the same time.
Absolutely. And this is an example of how we as Christians should follow God's way and not our own way. Anybody else have a verse? Bob?
I think Psalms 117, it doesn't use the word goodness. It uses the word loving kindness, which is a synonym for goodness. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all people. For his loving kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord.
Very good. And that's the attitude that the psalmist had, and that's the attitude that we as Christians should have. We're always praising God for his grace and mercy. And it's his will be done, no matter what. No matter what the circumstances are, God's in control. We have to remember that. I had another verse that I chose, and this was Titus 3:1-2. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration to all men. This is Paul writing to Titus and instructing him that Christians should be subject to rulers and those who are in authority. Be obedient and be ready for every good deed. To malign no one, to be peaceful with all, and to be gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Not just your family, not just your spiritual family, but all men. Carol, you had a comment?
Oh, I had verse 2 was mine.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So when we go through these exercises of looking at scriptures, we see that God shares with us through the Holy Spirit the way you and I, Christians, should be gentle. Okay, let's move on. Let's provide an example from someone who exhibited gentleness in the Old Testament. Who would like to share something with us? Lee and then Bill.
I picked David. He's such an easy target. And I don't, let's see, I don't really think or have the reference in there. But anyway, thou hast given me the shield of salvation, and thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. I mean, that's so good. That just sounds great, but David.
And that's an excellent verse to ponder upon in your life.
Yes.
That's a very good verse. Bill?
In Ruth, when Boaz saw Ruth among the gleaners in his fields, he asked who she was, and he told the young men to treat her well. And then he invited her to sit and eat with them as well. He treated her with great gentleness and care.
Absolutely. In fact, that's what I had put down. In Ruth, the second chapter, verses 14 through 16. And it's important when you are talking to someone who is not a Christian to share verses with them so that they can see that this comes from God's word. And it's important for us to share that. We may not memorize all these verses. I can't memorize a thing. However, I know where to go in the Bible to share these verses. And in Ruth, we see at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Comes some scripture. And that's important when we share God's word with someone who is not a Christian. Go to scripture.
Well, I was going to also say, Ruth also showed gentleness in the fact that she accompanied Naomi back to a place that she did not know, took on following her God when she had many to choose from. And then also, too, doing exactly what she said, Naomi said. So if she would tell, you know, Naomi said, well, what did he say to you? This is what he said. Do what he says then. You stay with his servant women that is female servants. You glean with them. You work with them. You do what he says. And just all of those things. She could have, you know, been stubborn. She could have been, I don't want to do that. But that's not what she was looking for. She was looking for, she loved her. So she was going to show her the kindness due her for her age. And that this was a mother to her. Formerly to her husband. And so she was going to still show that kindness and gentleness to her in her time of need and in time of widowhood.
And God had a purpose for her. And that purpose was?
Running to Christ.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Bill?
Something I didn't realize before now, you put that up there. It said he served her. He was the boss, and he served her, this foreigner.
Uh-huh.
He didn't just let her eat there. But that's something special.
Well, not only that, he was showing gentleness to her. And like you said, he was in charge. He didn't have to do that, but yet he did. He showed care for her. and compassion.
This is that that book and Boaz is a huge lesson for us, because it said he was a great man.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows why.
One of the attributes that he had, yes, he was gentle. He was compassionate. Compassion to others. And he cared. And that's the attitude we should develop in our lives. Okay, who else has an example from the Old Testament? Andrew.
I went to Joshua and looked at Rahab, showing that kindness and compassion for the spies. You know, she didn't have to do that. She didn't have to give them shelter. She didn't have to lead the soldiers away. She didn't have to help them escape and tell them where to hide for a bit when she lowered them out of her place quit. She heard about what happened in Egypt. She complained to the spies. They heard what happened in Egypt. They understood that this land was set to be theirs. And she started believing that there is a God. So when they showed up, she welcomed them in with open arms. She hid them. She led the soldiers astray and helped them out of her place and told them to go hide and stay there for 3 days and wait for them to return, and then you can go on your way.
Exactly. And Rahab saw God working through the children of Israel and realized that she wanted to be part of that. And that's what we as Christians who have God on our side, we should share with others. Go ahead, Andrew.
And then later on, you see that she rewarded you for that compassion.
Mm-hmm.
They're saved after they came to Jericho. All that she was, they were saved. So
yeah, exactly. Okay, anybody else want to share? Okay, Bob.
Actually, I picked Pharaoh's daughter in Exodus 2.
Okay.
Where she found baby Moses in the bulrushes and said she had pity on him and compassion, which is very similar to gentleness.
Very good. Very good examples. Carol?
I chose Abraham when he and Lot were sojourning and they've been blessed so much that the shepherds all started fighting over the pasture land. And he took the gentle way out. He told Lot, you choose left, you choose right, and I'll choose the other.
Exactly. Yeah. He was very diplomatic about it. And he showed compassion. And he showed love to his brother. Very good examples. How about an example from the New Testament? Go ahead, Diane.
I was thinking of Mary, the sister of Lazarus, when Jesus was in their home, and she rubbed his feet with oil and paid great attention to him.
Yeah, she was gentle, and she showed compassion. I'll get you in a minute, Bill. Kirsten?
Oh, I had Phoebe, Romans 16, 1 and 2, just delivering Paul's letters to the Romans. And possibly reading them to them, that she just was, you know, somebody who did it gently and kindly. I mean, it doesn't really say that, but I mean, he must have trusted her enough to go and do that.
Sure.
And that takes, you know, to stand up and talk with people and to deliver those letters. So.
Good. Very good. Bill?
Maybe it's not a fair example because it's Jesus, but there was a funeral, and the only son of a woman was carried dead. And nobody asked, but Jesus raised him from the dead because he loved the woman.
Mm-hmm.
He cared.
Sure, exactly. Carol?
I have the parable of the prodigal son. And it's with father when he's talking to the older son who's gotten angry over all of this in Luke 15:31.
Mm-hmm.
My child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. His response to his son's anger was very gentle.
Exactly. Very good. Redonda?
I thought of Priscilla and Aquila in Acts 18.
Mm-hmm.
When they pulled Apollos aside, who was speaking with such fervor about Christ, but then to pull them and pull them in private just to make sure, you know, to just kind of set him a little bit more straight on how he was supposed to do that. Didn't like browbeat him, didn't do it in front of everybody, just pulled them aside, hey, let's study this out more. Let's show that's just kind of what you were talking about earlier, about if someone is going the wrong way, you pull them aside gently, show that kindness, that gentleness, and talk to them about the right way they ought to go. They did the same exact thing for Apollos.
That's a very good example. And when you think about how we could apply that to our lives, we should be able to approach our brothers and sisters in a loving manner, in a gentle spirit, and explain, this is what God expects. Very good. Andrew and then Dean.
I had the Good Samaritan.
Oh, Good Samaritan, Dad. Explain that.
That is still one of my favorite parables that Jesus talked about, you know. Just how the Good Samaritan stopped and showed compassion. Didn't know the guy at all, but saw somebody in need and went and helped him get to a place where he could rest and get well. And it just reminds me that, you know, it just reminds us that we need to show that passion to others, especially those that are lost. We may not know them. We may not be their best friend. We may not know their background, but we should show them compassion. We should be gentle with them. We should help guide them in the right direction.
Exactly. And that's what Jesus did when he was here. When he was teaching, he didn't go to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who were, quote, the religious experts. He went to those who were sinners, those who needed help, spiritual help. And he was there for them, just like he is with you and I today. When we need Jesus, he's there. We read God's word and we get God's input. And we as Christians should apply that to our lives. Dean, you had a comment?
Yeah. My example was Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the Thessalonians, he said, we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother gently cares for her children or tenderly cares for her children. So, number one, he said we were gentle, but he said we were proven to be gentle. So it's not just me saying I'm a gentle person. It's what do other people think about my approach?
Mm-hmm.
Would they say he is a gentle person? So he says, first, we prove to be gentle, and then he defines it.
Exactly.
He says it's like a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children. And so I think it's important to understand that sometimes we kind of toot our own horns and say, I'm really a gentle person. I only have your best interests at heart. And they don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just important for us to understand. Paul was willing to say, I'll let you judge my gentleness.
And he said his gentleness was proven
by
others. And that's what he shared with the saints at Thessalonica. And also, if you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul encourages the saints at Corinth. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I, who am meek and when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent." And when he was talking to the Philippian saints, he encourages them, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." That's the attitude that Paul shared with those saints. And as Dean had indicated, Paul shared with the saints of Thessalonica, their actions proved they were gentle among them. And he gives an example, like a nursing mother tenderly caring for her own children. Paul is a perfect example of how one should be gentle in their lives. However, when it comes to sin, you should be bold to stand against it. That's important. Anybody else have an example from the New Testament? Dean, go ahead.
Yeah, the other example that I had was the elder.
Oh.
Who is not to be a bully, but instead be gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you learn a lot about gentleness from the contrast with somebody that's a bully.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Andrew?
The other example I had Jesus written down.
Uh-huh.
I specifically want to look at John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, where Jesus showed compassion to an adulterer. And it was a woman that was committing adultery. And I actually kind of want to focus on verse 7 there, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at her." And then verse 9, they said, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there.
Very good example.
What he's pointing out here is that we all have sinned before. Who are we to condemn somebody else for sin?
Yeah.
Who are we to do that? No. We should be gentle to those that have sinned and don't know the way. We can help be a guide to them because we may have done the same things that they have done before. And we can help them get past the obstacle and help them align their life to Christ, or if they're a Christian, you know, get back on the straight and narrow.
Exactly. Very good point. Anybody else have anything to share? Anybody from the from Zoom? All right, let's continue with our questions. This is a hard one. How do Christians reflect a Christ-like attitude through gentleness? What does that mean to you? I can see the wheels turned. Okay, Kirsten.
Speaking softly, being patient, showing empathy, seeking to build others up rather than tear them down, speaking the truth. But speaking softly, I kind of was like, but strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get the speaking softly part, but, you know, if you want them to listen, kind of, you know, there's that, the passive aggressiveness, I guess, maybe. But you should be strong in what you're talking about.
Sure.
And know what, you know, if it's showing empathy towards others. But it's really just speaking the truth, because that's...
And that's what we should be doing all the time.
Yeah.
No matter what. Faye?
I think a lot of times gentleness lets the other people talk to you because you're listening. There's something connected with gentleness and being able to listen and be quiet and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for people who are looking for God.
or Christ.
That's a good trait that we should develop. Absolutely.
Oh, one time when we were having a man work on the cabin, and he was talking about the Bible, and he said, I've read it through. I've been married to two women who believe in the Bible. I don't. And he just kept going on and on. And so I was talking to him, trying to, you know, use scripture and stuff. And we talked for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. And then he said, wait a minute. And I said, what? And he said, you're not getting mad at me. I said, no, I think you should be able to discuss things without getting mad at each other, especially God's word. And of course, in my way, I added, I think you're wrong. But I said, I think you're wrong. But I said, I'm glad we're discussing this. Because, you know, he was wrong.
Sure. You got your point there.
I didn't yell at him.
Bill?
When I think of gentleness, I think of the way that we handle a newborn baby. We do that, we're afraid it's going to break. It's the best example I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Andrew?
I did like what Faye said about listening. I do agree. That is I think it's a big part of gentleness, too, because when we're talking to people about the word, some people are very eager to just tell them everything that they need to do. You know, tell them how to act, tell them what to do. Sometimes they don't want to be told what to do. They just want to be heard, per se. And I think that's a big, big part of what we do, because we kind of need to see where they're coming from. We kind of need to see what their knowledge level is of this stuff. You know,
sure.
They could have some sort of knowledge, but then at the same time, they may not know anything and they may have had a rough life. And you need to, when teaching people, you may need to switch your tactics with each person, because each person learns in a different way.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
I think we said before, when speaking and teaching to people, not only do we need to listen to them, but we need to come from a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big thing. And if we show them love and compassion, then they may be caught way off guard. And that may be a big green flag to them of, oh my goodness, they're listening to me, but they're coming from a place of love too. They want to get to know me. They want me to succeed. So
it's important.
Having a Christ-like attitude, that's, we need to be able to listen and we need to be able to show love.
Just think about the gospel writers when they described how Jesus was presenting the parables and he was performing miracles. Just think how he approached people. He didn't say, I'm the greatest. He was a servant. And that's what we are, servants to others. And that's where our gentleness comes into play. Carol?
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that is the reason Jesus is telling us that we need to be gentle is because we blow our tops. We lose our cool. We don't do what we should. We don't choose our words right. So besides just listening to the other person, we have to listen to ourselves and see where we're going wrong and apply God's word in our lives and catch ourselves and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. You know, let's start over again, or let's do something different. But gentleness is not something that comes natural to a lot of people, especially if you're driving in your car. We're your God, right?
Well, it reminded me of the saying, don't put your mountain gear before you engage your brain. And that's what we should be doing. We should be thinking about what we're going to say. We should say it in such a way that it's kind, considerate, caring, and gentle. That's our attitude. And that's what Christ expects of us. Gentleness about demonstrating kindness, patience, and understanding in all interactions, especially during disagreements or facing challenges. It's about choosing to respond with compassion and empathy, even when it's difficult, as Carol had indicated. And Christians should allow the Holy Spirit to guide their actions and words. Don't forget, God had given each one of us the Holy Spirit when we were baptized. We shouldn't disappoint God. We should do the best we can at all times. Carol.
I saw two cartoons, one right next to the other. The dog, his name is Mine, right? And the one person is telling the dog to get out of the garbage, you know? And the other one is walking the dog on a leash. And the leash says, God's word.
Ah.
And I thought that goes really well with what you just
said. That goes a long way. That's a good one. Very good. Okay, when we have a Christ-like attitude, we should be practicing humility and self-awareness. Look within before you engage with someone. Cultivating patience and forbearance. Should work on that. And we'll talk about patience Andrew will talk about patience next week. It's a pretty important virtue to have. It characterizes what a Christian is. Being patient. Speaking with kindness and respect to all people. Demonstrating compassion and empathy. We spoke about this in our beginning of our class and our definition. But most important, pray to God for guidance and strength. As we should be communicating to God always through Christ Jesus for the guidance in our lives and the strength that will build us up in this Christian virtue of gentleness. Last question. How do you grow in gentleness and seek opportunities to demonstrate gentleness to others? What do you think?
I thought of Galatians 6:1. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too become tempted. Be tempted. So when you're trying to restore somebody, you talk to them and use scripture, but be gentle about
it. Exactly. Use scripture in a gentle way. Very good point. Anybody else? We should focus on thoughtfulness, empathy, and self-control. Prioritizing listening, understanding others' perspectives, and managing your own emotional reactions. Control yourself. Be gentle to yourself, and then you can be gentle to others. Practice kindness in your words and actions, and extend that kindness to yourself as well. Make sure you include yourself in this. So how do we show gentleness to others?
I have it's a way to act, not just a feeling. And then earlier on, I had Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. So it's just kind of recognizing your own limitations and your dependence on God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spirit that accepts God's dealings with us, and it's without resistance.
Very good, Kirsten. Those are very good points to focus on in our lives. When we should be considerate to others, and respectful in our actions, our interactions, and avoid harshness and cruelty. We should show kindness, patience, and a willingness to understand other perspectives. Just because someone has a different mindset than yours, listen and show them the respect. Hey.
When you're talking to somebody, you have to remember that God's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you don't want to make God angry with people, disappoint God. He's listening too.
Oh, absolutely. And you're accountable to that the day of judgment. Very good point. When we consider others, we should be communicating mindfully. Think about what you're going to say. Say it in such a way that you show empathy, you show care and compassion to those, that individual. And that brings us to the next point. Be kind and compassionate. Show kindness and compassion to others as you expect them to respect your point of view, respect theirs. And respecting the boundaries and needs of others. Maybe someone doesn't want your help. Respect that. Don't force yourselves on those individuals, but be able to be there in their need. And that's important. That's how a gentle person works. And look at Jesus. That's what he did. He didn't force himself on others. He just explained what the scriptures were. And he lived those scriptures out. And he died on the cross for you and I. Very good class. Next week, we're going to look at patience. And Andrew will lead that discussion. And does anybody have anything to add to our class tonight?